who is Egan and how can he stop this NGA budget analyst from suing for discrimination? Tell us about the Supreme Court case.
Sure. The case that stood in the way of this individual's attempt to challenge the decision not to give him his grievance is a very well-known 1988 Supreme Court case, Department of Navy versus Egan. And in that case, a federal employee who also was denied a security clearance and then eventually lost his job because he was, ineligible for clearance, didn't have one, was the basis of his federal employment. He appealed his removal, as most federal employees do, through the Merit Systems Protection Board, and then all the way up to the Supreme Court. And in Egan, back in 1988, the Supreme Court said that decisions on the merits about whether or not the executive branch, the executive in our government, should issue a security clearance was exclusively the jurisdiction of the president, exclusively the jurisdiction of the executive branch, unreviewable by the court. And it was that decision that since 1988 has consistently prevented anyone, including federal employees, many people who are not federal employees hold clearances, from challenging in court the merits of a denial of a security clearance.
So what exactly does a federal manager have to do to prove if somebody needs to have their clearance revoked, and what recourse do feds have?
Well, there's in every agency where security clearances, Ruben, where they're issued, there's an office called personal security. And those are the offices that hire out investigators. In some agencies, they use their own investigators. In other agencies, they use OPM background investigators. Investigations are completed. And then on those reports, personnel security office looks at it and decides whether or not it raises concerns for national security. In the case that Tom mentions, the one we're talking about that just got decided just last week here in Virginia in a federal court, NGA, the intelligence agency, NGA decided that it was this individual's, this employee's affiliation by marriage to a foreign national that could pose, as the security office determined, and on appeal inside the agency, it was affirmed that that he could have a conflict of interest in his affinity for his wife and her beliefs and her interests in other governments and the interests of other governments, that he could have a conflict of interest and be tempted to trade secrets and information he learned as part of his job to assist his wife. And that is one of the factors that could disqualify anyone from holding a clearance. It's whether or not they could be subject to what the guidelines discuss as a foreign influence. And in that case, Ruben, he tried to mitigate it by showing that she'd quit certain organizations and that these organizations were not anti-U.S., but NGA Personal Security ultimately decided against him that he had not sufficiently shown them that the conflict could arise.
We're speaking with Deborah Roth, a partner at Shaw, Bransford & Roth. So what this says then, and correct me if I'm wrong, is that agency management basically has almost unlimited discretion when it comes to deciding security clearance.
Well, they do and they don't, Tom. And you see enough of these cases recently, and I want to be more accurate about what this individual's challenge was. It wasn't just discrimination. It was unconstitutional discrimination. A lot of federal employees listening will think when you say discrimination that he went into the EEO process and said, you're discriminating against me based upon Title VII. He did not. He raised constitutional challenges in federal court against the agency saying, you're violating my First Amendment right to freedom of association, free speech. You're violating my Fifth Amendment due process rights by making a determination against me in employment that's based upon a racial and ethnic factor. And so he raised constitutional challenges, and people have started to do that. And I think eventually what's going to happen, and I think this case might be one of those cases poised to do it, is it's just going to go back up to the Supreme Court more than 30 years later, 20 years later, to see what the court's position is 20 years later on these issues. And I think that this case in particular was poised to do that. In the interim, people actually, there is a lot of process that they do get, whether they're federal employees or contractors. There's a lot of process they do get. You can actually bring challenges, both in the EEO process and at MSPB, to the way your security clearance was processed. If you think that you were unfairly treated in the process, then certainly EEOC and MSPB will hear those challenges. But currently, Tom, on the merits, whether or not you are a national security concern, they're following 1988 law and saying it's exclusively the jurisdiction of the president. I think some of these cases, though, are headed to the Supreme Court.
And then, of course, anything could happen there.
Yeah, yeah. Certainly, 1988 law, not exactly the exact issues that have been raised recently in these clearances. There's some similar and related kinds of cases that have gone back up, not on security clearances, but on national security issues, that for years it's been thought that it was exclusively part the jurisdiction of the executive, his war powers, his commander-in-chief powers. And we've seen, particularly in post-9/11 cases, the court saying, yes, commander-in-chief powers, yes, war powers, but we get to review whether or not you acted constitutionally. And so I do think that these security clearance cases that are raising constitutional challenges are probably headed back up to the court.
How often does the government reverse a decision like this, a decision to revoke the security clearance?
Well, in this case, Ruben, the individual went through his entire the entire set of appeals he was entitled to. He had certain he had an opportunity in front of the Office of Personal Security at NGA, and when they denied it, he was able to go up to the appeals board at NGA, and that was his final level of review. For most federal employees, it's about two levels of review. Same thing for contractors. Contractors get a full-blown hearing in front of an administrative judge where they're able to introduce witnesses and evidence to prove to the agency that whatever security concern they thought was identified by the investigation in fact don't exist. So in this case, this individual got technically all the process he was due. As I said, he could have brought a challenge through the EEO process on the process he got, but not on the merits. And this individual was focused on the merits. He said, your concern
sure.
about my wife is religious and national origin based. And that's And instead of bringing an EEO, I think when I read the case, I think they situated themselves to appeal it to the Court of Appeals and then to the Supreme Court.
All right, we'll have to keep following.